Love that old hymn, and certainly brought things to light this morning of where our vision should be and our focus should be. It's a great, great song to lead us into our continued discussion of what Paul is saying to the church at Corinth in this second letter that we have in Scripture. So if you want to turn there and hold that spot in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 4, we'll continue today. I want to say some things this morning. First of all, just regarding last week and just good discussions that I've had this past week. I think the Lord is helping us to see some truth that maybe we haven't seen before, opening up some things about where our ideas about the truth comes from. And I hope that you guys will receive the challenge this morning as I go back a little bit to talk about. And it's a precursor, really, of what we're going to talk about today, because in chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, therefore. So we have to go back to see what the therefore is there for, right? So we're going to do that. We're going to go back and look at that by just kind of recapping some of the things that Paul said last week in the message to bring today's text to light a little more clearly. So Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, we read last week, and this is kind of where the therefore is going to go in reference to all that Paul said, I think, but kind of highlights these three verses. He says in verse 16 of chapter 3, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is spirit. So Paul told us last week clearly that this ministry comes from the Spirit. This ministry that of seeing the glory of God, of recognizing who God is, that comes from the Spirit. The Spirit is the one that's going to reveal to us the reality of God. I love this, some of what we were singing this morning. It talks about just what happens when we see the beauty of who God is. Even that last song, just be thou my vision. God, if we can just see you, then we can see truth. And that's what we're longing for. That's what Paul is longing for the church to see. This church at Corinth is the truth about who God is, the glory of God. He wants to see that revealed. And so last week, Paul spoke about where the glory comes from and where it doesn't come from. Paul said that it didn't come from the law, that there was some glory tied to the law, to the giving of the law, in Moses' face. As Moses went before God, he would unveil his face and God would commune with and speak to and fellowship with Moses and give Moses the commandments and that he would bring back to the people. And then Moses would come before the people, and the scripture says that his face shone with the glory of God. But then after he would read whatever the Lord gave him after he would say whatever the Lord gave him to say to the people, then he would cover his face again so they wouldn't see the fading glory. The glory was fading because Moses was no longer in the direct presence of God. And the point that Paul's trying to make is there's a better way of revealing the glory of God. There's a better way for us to see the glory of God, the truth about God, personally, and there's a better way for it to be revealed to the world around us. And here's the way. It's through the Spirit. And Paul was obviously, he was addressing a problem that was going on in the church, that some people were trying to discount what Paul was saying about the Spirit of God and the truth that was being revealed through his preaching and teaching. And Paul says, I don't gain my validity in ministry and teaching and preaching by what those men say or what any men say. I don't need letters of recommendation from them. The letter of recommendation I have is you. It's the glory that you've seen as you have obeyed the things that God has given you through my teaching. And I don't need letters of recommendation from you for somebody else. You are my letters of recommendation. It's what God His Spirit is doing in your life. So the hope that we see for the unfading glory of God is fulfilled in Christ, because He is in us. His Spirit is in us, and that's fulfilled in Christ. It's not fulfilled in the keeping of the law. And that hope doesn't fade. Instead, Paul says it increases from one degree of glory to the next. As we look on the glory of God in the face of Jesus, that is manifested to us and in us, this increasing glory. That there's nothing that stops that from happening. Poor preaching doesn't stop it from happening. Bad experiences in life, troubles, trials, problems that come into our lives don't stop the glory of God from being revealed in us, whose eyes have been opened, and we see with unveiled eyes the truth about who God is, His glory. Once that experience happens for us, and we see the glory of God, and we're attracted and drawn to God, and God begins to reveal more and more of Himself to us as we continue to walk with Him through life, being obedient to the voice of the Spirit as He speaks. So the hope that we have for this unfading glory is fulfilled in the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. It's Christ living in us. Paul said this in reference to suffering in Colossians. As he's talking to the Colossian church in chapter 1, verses 24 to 29, Paul addresses what happens to him and what continues to happen in his life, even in the face of suffering, is the glory of God continues to be shown. He says in verse 24, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. For in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of the body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for generations, but now revealed to his saints." The same thing he's doing with the church at Corinth, he's doing here, revealing the truth about God. That's his ministry to the body, his ministry to the church. That's my ministry to the church. It's your ministry to the church. It's revealing the truth about God through the Word of God, making the mystery known to those whose eyes who have turned to the Lord and their eyes have been unveiled so they could see the truth. It's that we continue to give truth. In verse 27, he says to them, "God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of his glory, of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone with teaching and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And for this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." So the consistent message of Paul is, here is the hope of glory. Here's the hope of us seeing the glory. It's in us. It's Christ in us. It's the Spirit working the Word into his life and out of our lives. The Spirit is working the Word of God into our lives and out of our lives. As far as life and ministry are concerned, the glory of God comes as we submit to the Spirit. And then we see the glory. And others see the glory in us, but it doesn't come from us. It comes from the Spirit of God, Christ in us. Now let me say some things more clearly that I said last week. Y'all with me this morning? Say, oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure. I need you to be with me, okay? These truths are huge for our church right now. Paul spoke of the fact that the law brought condemnation and death. Paul made that statement because there were some that were trying to add the law, that is, their interpretations of the law, these rules and regulations, to the saving work of Christ, which came by the Spirit in any believer's life. That work comes as the Spirit brings it into someone's life. I made the comparison of what some of us do with Scripture, that rather than teaching people to encounter the Spirit through the Scriptures, we want to make rules based on our personal thoughts and ideas and philosophies and maybe even experiences. I want us to clearly understand some possible applications for our body. I said that listening to men instead of listening to the Spirit brings death. Listening to men instead of listening to the Spirit brings death. In the same way that it did that the law brought death. I am not saying that the Spirit doesn't lead men to vocalize his interpretation of truth. If I believed that, I wouldn't have a job, right? With integrity, anyway. I might keep the job, which is what these men were doing. They were trying to keep their jobs. But I want us to hear clearly that listening to men instead of listening to the Spirit brings death. We need to listen to the Spirit. God certainly uses the foolishness of preaching. But people must hear the Spirit through us when we speak the truth. God certainly uses discipleship, teaching people to observe all the things that he commanded us. He certainly uses that, and we have a command to do it. But people must hear the Spirit through us. The Spirit is the focus, and Paul is trying to make to help the church to see this problem that exists. The difference between listening to men is in one case people become dependent upon men, and in the other case, people become dependent upon the Spirit. And so I guess a question for us to ask about our own lives, first of all, is are we dependent upon men to give us the truth from the Word of God? Are we dependent upon that? Or are we listening for the Spirit to speak through men and women? As ministers, it's hard for us not to preach our rules. Preaching rules brings feelings of guilt. It brings a quicker response, a visible response in most cases. We like to have invitations and have people respond visibly so that we can feel good about ourselves. And a lot of, I'm speaking of myself. It's hard for us not to preach our rules. But I want to share this beautiful thing that the Lord has shown me over the past few years with you guys in our experience together. It's been a struggle for me. Many of you have been a part of that struggle, and I've tried to be open and vulnerable and share my struggle with not motivating you by giving you rules to follow, instead trying to lead you to walk in the Spirit and in the Word. But the more that I've avoided preaching rules and have seen the results that the Spirit has brought in your lives, the more I trust him to speak to you. I have a boldness in saying that the Spirit will reveal his glory through your lives. I understand the boldness with which Paul says, I have this boldness in the Spirit that if I can lead you to meet with God, to abide in him and abide in his word, that's going to be the things, that's going to be what changes your life. Not my ability to manipulate you some way to see some kind of behavior that brings success in man's eyes for me and makes me feel good about myself. Paul said in chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face so the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. Right? I have a boldness. My boldness as your pastor is that as you walk in what the Lord has given us, you walk in the Word, guided by the Spirit. You listen for the Spirit to speak through me and other people that are bringing discipleship into your life, bringing the Word into your life. You listen as the Spirit guides you. I have a boldness to say that you guys are going to continue to be shining lights for God in this world, that you're going to continue to be revelations of the glory of God, the person of God, the truth about God in the places where you live. I have that boldness. I don't have that boldness when I convince you to do something that it's not in your heart to do. I don't have that boldness when I have to talk you into or make you feel guilty and try to get some kind of motivation outside of the Spirit of God. I also said that we need to quit limiting the Spirit's movement by giving people rules and regulations. And I say that about myself. I hope you understand that in the context of what I just said. I was not saying that we don't need to give the Word of God to people. Listen carefully. Okay, because there's this dichotomy that we have, that we've made up, between the Spirit and the Word. And those of you who have been close to me, who I have spent time discipling, you know that when I find you in that dichotomy, spending too much time focusing on the Spirit as if the Word is less than the Spirit, then I spend all my time talking to you about the Word, right? And if you're that guy or gal that's always spending your time focusing on the Word, the Word, the Word, and you tend to talk about the Word like the Spirit is not connected or has some kind of weak connection to the Word, then we're going to spend all our time talking about the Spirit, because there is no dichotomy. Who wrote the Word? Did Paul write the Word? Did Peter write the Word of God? Did John and Matthew, Mark and Luke? No. The Spirit wrote the Word. I've heard people try to teach my book at times, both of them. And when someone tries to teach Busy and Empty or the new book, whatever it's going to be called, The Abiding Cycle, when I hear someone else trying to teach it, even though I have taught it to them, I hear them teaching it and I go, wait, no, let's redirect. What do you think the Spirit of God does when we're taking His words and we are using it in the wrong way? We're not consulting the Spirit. We're not abiding in the Spirit. We have no clear conscience before God that what we're saying comes from the Spirit. He's doing the same thing. He's saying, no, don't do that. And Paul is the Spirit's voice speaking to this church and saying, listen, don't listen to these guys. They don't know how to interpret what I'm saying. They are doing the wrong thing. They're doing it for selfish reasons. Paul describes them as hucksters, trying to gain something for themselves by using the Word of God. It's so significant that we erase this dichotomy, because the Spirit and the Word are one. The Spirit spoke the Word. There is no contradiction between what the Spirit says and what the Word of God says. The best way to find out what the Spirit wants us to do in our flesh is this. In this body is this. Get in the Word. Study it and ask the Spirit how to apply it. Stay in the Word. Study it. Memorize it. How many times have we said it? You know, we have to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. Make a daily practice. You know, we don't have to in the sense of don't make it a routine. Make it a desire to hear the Spirit's voice and walk in the Spirit. But let the Spirit speak. You are more than able as a priest, as a person who walks directly into the presence of God, to hear the Word of God. And it's being in God's presence and experiencing the truth about who God is that brings the glory of God. So we can't separate the Spirit from the Word. What I'm saying is the Spirit is the best one to tell us what He meant when He wrote it, right? We've seen what men's rules can do. I believe we are experiencing death in this community and in the Bible Belt because of it. I believe that. I believe I'm the one who perpetuated that for years because of my pride, because of my desire to be somebody, to find my identity in what I did instead of in finding my identity in Christ. I know what that feels like, and we are suffering the consequences. The church is suffering the consequences in this community, and the lost in this community are suffering the consequences of us perpetuating this dead list of rules and regulations. People need to encounter the Spirit of God through His Word. Now, as ministers, I believe Paul is saying this, as ministers, all of us are, it's my job, it's my vocation, but it's your job also in your vocation. As ministers, if our hearts are pure before the Lord, then we want to see Christ fully formed in people. We want to see the church grow to maturity, as Paul did. But we have to be careful that our methods are not leading people in back into bondage, but rather are leading them to walk in the Spirit. You agree with that? Say, oh yeah. So Paul recognized this. Paul says, I put no trust in my abilities. Now look with me at chapter 4, verse 1. Paul goes on to say more about this concept. Paul says in verse 1, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Therefore, having this ministry of the Spirit through the Word, revealing to us the glory of God and us growing closer to God, becoming more like Christ from one degree of glory to the next, and having this ministry in the community of God revealing Himself through us. Paul says, because of that, because we have it by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. I can promise you this, guys. Listen, I lost heart in ministry when I was the one having to try to convince people to live right. That is so depressing. Nobody wants to live by a list of rules and regulations. Nobody does. It's not what we were designed for. It does. I don't care who you are. If you're in the church today and you've been living by a list of rules and regulations, you're feeling what I'm saying, whether you would admit it or not. It was designed, the rules were designed to bring us to the end of ourselves. But I don't lose heart when I understand I have this ministry by the mercy of God, that I can count on Him to show me His glory and to reveal His glory through me. I can count on Him to do that through this jar of clay. I don't have the ability to do that, but I can count on the fact that even on Sundays when I feel like the message did not come out, that I can see evidence that the Holy Spirit revealed His glory to somebody. It's not about me. It's about Him. But Paul says in verse 2, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or tamper with God's word but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Paul refused to try to color the truth to make it more palatable. It's just the open truth. Just the simple truth revealed. Paul refused to use his preaching to draw people to himself in order that he could fill his pockets with money or stroke his ego, which is what these other guys were doing. Paul refused to do that. He was determined to preach the plain truth and let the Spirit do His work through that. And then the results were the Spirit's results. I mean, at that point, Paul takes no responsibility for the results. Y'all with me? It's not our responsibility to worry about the results. The Spirit is the one that will bring the results. If the Spirit is the one speaking, then the Spirit is the one responsible for the results. Right? So we don't have to lose heart. Even when we don't see the results that we think we should see, we don't lose heart because we know, we trust, we have boldness that the Spirit is revealing His glory. If we just walk in the truth and speak the plain truth and let the Spirit do His work. So Paul goes on in verse 3 and says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. Right, there it is. What a beautiful statement. It's not our responsibility. The Holy Spirit will do His work. We just, with clear conscience, we just speak the open truth about God as the Spirit gives it to us, and He guides us, and it's evident that when people see us, they see us as different from the rest of the world. They will also, in this culture, see us as different from those hucksters who are using the Word of God for their own glory. They will see us as different. And then we have an open door to share the truth, and God uses that to shine in their hearts the light of the knowledge of His glory in the face of Christ. Those who don't believe, He says, have minds that are still blinded by Satan. But we don't have to work hard to open their eyes, guys. We don't have to use tactics and techniques and plans and programs in order to open the eyes of people, because it's not our job. God must shine in their hearts to give the light of the knowledge of Jesus. He must do that work. So what's our part? How's God going to do this? Well, we go back to what we read earlier in chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So here's what happens. Number one, we who are experiencing the glory of God, we who are have had the veil taken off of our eyes, our minds have been enlightened to the truth, and it changes the way we live. And the more truth we discover about God as the Spirit reveals it in His Word, through His Word, as He reveals truth to us, and we understand the truth about God, it transforms the way we live. You can see it on the face. I had a student this past week. I'm teaching two classes at LC this semester. I appreciate the opportunity. There are students in that class whose minds have been, eyes are covered over to the truth. Satan has blinded their eyes. Some of them are believers and some of them aren't. Some of them are believers and false teaching has blinded their eyes. Satan has used that. And I had a student come up to me this week after class. And this is at school, right? This is a class that students go to because they miss too many chapels and they have to come. Okay? All right? Yeah. I love it. I do. Because you know what? This is exactly what we're talking about, right? They have seen rules and regulations in their mind, and they need to see the glory of God. And so we've been talking about these same kinds of truths, and a student came to me today with a smile on her face, said, I just want to stay after class and tell you this. I get it. I said, you get what? I understand what you mean about the grace of God. I understand what you mean about God's grace doesn't just give me salvation, but it also, He is my righteousness. I got it. This past week, she said, I'm about to start crying. And she starts crying and telling me how it freed her up. And I said, now the only question you need to ask is, now that you don't have to do anything, what are you going to do? And she's motivated in her heart to live for God for the first time in her life. We who are experiencing the glory of God and are experiencing His freedom and are being transformed into His image, we reveal the glory of God. The Spirit does that through us. And it's progressively higher degrees, right in the face of unbelievers. There's higher degrees, a deeper understanding of the glory of God, a deeper appreciation for God, a deeper love for who we're discovering. You can't hide that when it's real, when it's not based on somebody preaching you into right behavior. Instead, it's based on the Spirit revealing truth. You can't hide what the Spirit is doing in your life. And it doesn't stop. It grows and grows and grows from one degree of glory to the next. So we're putting that every day. I put that in the face of non-believers, in the place where I office, in the places where I play, in the places where I eat. I'm putting that in the face of unbelievers. Just by being there and being filled, a canister, right, of the Holy Spirit, a jar of clay holding the glory of God. They're not seeing rules and regulations anymore. They don't see that in me because I don't have it in me anymore. I'm no longer motivated by that. I don't have to prove anything to anybody. I don't have to tell them how to live. I'm not offended when they don't live the way I live. I just want them to see the glory of God. So that's what happens for us. This is the way the Lord brings them to the point of turning to Him. This is the way he unveils their eyes. He uses us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul said this. He said, "And you show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not in ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts." See the difference? Paul says, what do they show? In church, this is what you show. You show that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us. You know, whatever I speak into your life that helps to lead you to a point of seeing the glory of God and seeing the beauty of who he is and being changed by that, whatever I do in that, that's the success of whatever ministry I have. And you are a letter delivered by me to this community. You're a letter written by Christ, from Christ, delivered to this community. And not written on tablets of stone. It's not a list of rules and regulations. That's not who you are. You are a letter that reveals the Spirit of the living God on tablets of human hearts. When people see that, then what happens? They turn to the Lord and the veil is removed. Right? My goal for every person that's a non-believer and every person that is a believer and is bound up, whose eyes are still being blinded by legalism, my goal is to let them see the Spirit of God in me. To be an open book to reveal the truth about God so that the Lord will use that to cause them to turn to him, to turn their hearts. And then the veil is removed. Then the Spirit reveals the glory of God to them, and they begin to be transformed in the same way that we are, from one degree of glory to the next. So once that happens, once they turn to the Lord and the veil is removed, it's not time for us to take our interpretations of the word and give everything we got to them and use our programs that we grew up in and pull out all of the truths that we've learned as we were growing up and all these books and get them into the books. And it's not about that. It's about us now continuing to disciple in this way. Lord, what do we give them? What do we speak into their lives? What do they need to hear from your word? How do I show them more of your glory? Guide me, lead me. I've already confessed to you that sometimes I find people who are way too connected to this dichotomized, if that is such a word, idea of the Spirit over here, and I got to bring them back to the Word. Why? Why do I do that? How do I know that? God's Spirit reveals to me what to teach, what Scripture to use, where to go, how to lead, how to disciple, so that they can experience the Spirit through me in the Word. I'm nothing but a conduit. The Spirit is the one doing the ministry. And Paul's trying to help them to understand that. Listen, I'm not trying to make something of myself like these other guys are. I'm a nobody. I embrace that. I want to be that. Matter of fact, that is the secret. So the Spirit can reveal the glory of God through me, and you can begin to be transformed, not by coming to me every time you have a question, not by coming to me every time that you want to figure out what do I do next or how am I supposed to live, but going to the Spirit of God in His Word. Spirit will use me. But you need to learn to depend on the Spirit, not on me. So Paul closes by giving us a summary statement, and this statement has become our focal verse for this series in 2 Corinthians. Verse 7, he says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay." Why? To show the surpassing power that belongs to God, not to us. So we need to embrace our weakness, quit trying to be somebody, quit trying to make somebody else something so that they can show up, so we can feel successful. But we need to give the glory of God away to people. I want to give an illustration to close this morning. I talked to the elders about this a few weeks ago in our elders' meeting, this concept. And I hope that this will help us to see a little bit about what we're talking about when we talk about the glory of God. You know, all of us have a list of things that we hold on to, that we lock tightly into our paradigm about what we see about God, what we believe about God. And there are certain things that I believe this very clearly the Scripture teaches. There's no contradiction. They're not disputable matters. They are doctrines that we need to hold on to. I'm not teaching those today, but I want to say to you, I believe that the Word is very clear. Paul says not to argue, spend time arguing or disputing over disputable matters. Okay, there are some that are not clear. There are some that people will, but even though they're not clear, churches and denominations will hold on to those things with a death grip so the imprint of their fingernails are tightly in these disputable ideas. I don't know why God didn't make it clear enough so that we could understand everything and how we're supposed to live according to it, other than maybe he doesn't want us living by a list of rules. And it leaves room for the Spirit to interpret things in our lives and how we need to apply them in our lives. All of us know and have had the experience where we're in the Word and something that the Lord's Spirit speaks through that Word and gives us an epiphany that we never had before, even though we've read the verse 100 times. It's because it's living and active. The Word of God it speaks to us. The Spirit enlightens us through His Word. And so I would submit to you that there are truths in the Word of God that we need to hold to with a death grip. Things like salvation through Jesus, right? Things like our ministry being based on the grace of God and the Spirit moving in us and through us. Things like where our sanctification comes from. You know, our doctrine of the Holy Spirit, our belief about the gospel being preached from cover to cover. Those are the things we don't give on. That's truth. And practices come from that in our daily lives. There are things that the Scripture very clearly says, these things are wrong. So we hold tightly to those things that God puts into our life as the Spirit speaks to us. This increases because we see the glory of God and we buy in and we hold on to that, those things that God is doing in our lives, and it gets truth for us. And that glory is what people see in us. But we live in a community where there are a lot of lost people that nobody is even making an attempt to touch. Nobody's making an attempt to touch. That the church is so far removed. And so what are people seeing? They're not seeing the glory of God. They're seeing these things. This is what we show. This one has to be on wheels. This is what we're holding on to with death grip. And it's what we're expecting, some of us. It's what we're expecting the world to live by. Lost people. We're thinking if we tell them all these things that we grew up with, even the disputable things, we hold to those with a death grip. And our list is so big. And these things are things that men have brought into our lives. These are the things that Paul was saying you're trying to add to what the Spirit has put into your life. They're trying to add to that list all these other rules and regulations. And I know we think, all of us think, that these things that we hold on to are the things that are important. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in our box, right? And we're trying to promote this instead of promoting the glory of God. And this begins to hide the glory of God. And so people in this community don't have anything to do with God because they think this is God. All these things that we hold on to with a death grip that we're probably going to change our mind about at some point. My theology has been radically changed by my walk with the Spirit. And what he's done more than anything in my life is he's brought this down to that. And so who's going to help the community that we live in, those that are lost, to see that when this is in the way? You know, I don't know what it is. And this is why I asked the elders, what can we shave off so that we can, what can we not make such a big deal out of and be okay with God in the Spirit? Well, what are the things that we're holding on to as a church and as individuals, as elders of the church? What are we holding on to that God never intended for us to hold on to? I believe there's a shedding away that needs to happen for us. I believe God wants to reveal his glory, and we're instead of removing, being used by God to remove the veil from their eyes, we're the veil is darker because of what we've done. And when I say we, I mean the church, the big church. It's a scary thing, isn't it? Because I know some of you are thinking, well, Glenn, what are you going to not hold on to? Because I got my list that I want us to hold on to. Right? Are y'all feeling that? No, that's fine, but don't take my thing out the list without asking me. Why not? Where's your boldness? Is your boldness in the Spirit, in his word, or is your boldness in, are you trying to hold on to something that may or may not be God? I have this boldness with you guys. Those of you who have been walking with us, and you'll have to ask yourself if the Spirit includes you in this list or not. But I have a boldness, this boldness with you, that you can say to God, God, I'm going to empty everything except for what I know for a fact to be truth. My salvation, my experience with you, things that I know that your word has said and your Spirit has interpreted for me. And the rest of it's empty pages. You put back in what you want. I think that's a good place for us to go. Now, I don't know what that small list is going to be for you. And I don't know yet what that small list will be for us as a church, but I know it's not this. I know all of us have some shedding we need to do in order to reach this community. I think we have the best opportunity, and I say this because I feel this. I could be wrong, and I'm certainly not boasting or pumping us up. But I think of all the churches that I know, I think we have the best opportunity to reach the lost in this community who want to have nothing to do with God because this has blinded their eyes. If we can shed some of this. And I don't know how big your box is going to be. I'm not saying we don't need a box. We got a paradigm to live by. It's those things that the Spirit speaks into our lives. But I do believe we need to start asking God, what am I holding on to with a death grip that's offending the lost world for no reason? Because their eyes have not been unveiled yet. They need to see the glory of God. They don't need to see a list of rules and regulations. All right, that's a lot. But I think the Spirit communicated clearly, and I hope you heard. I'm confident that you will understand if you don't. But we have this ministry. We have this ministry in jars of clay. We're going to get it wrong. We're going to get it right at times. But here's what I trust. That walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, he's going to help us to reach the lost world. I think we need to get our minds on the lost world. I think it's time for us as a gathering place to not just huddle together and talk about God and do ministry events. But I think it's time for us to begin to be light, that people can see the glory of God revealed in us because we are experiencing the glory of God, the beauty of who God is, as we shed some of the junk we've been holding on to all of our lives, some of us. And we just walk with God and let him put good stuff in the trunk. Stuff that matters, stuff that's important, stuff that reveals his glory. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your Spirit who has spoken today, the things that we need to hear. I thank you for the written word that he has given us through faithful men. And Lord, those two work in concert together as they have today. They work every day in our lives to do this beautiful task, Lord, that you've revealed, to reveal the glory of God, so that we who have unveiled faces can behold you, and that you can, through that beauty, transform us into your likeness. I know that we have this treasure in jars of clay, and that's good because it shows the surpassing power that belongs to you and not to us. But God, just know today that our hearts long to know you, and the things that we've discovered, we desperately want the lost to understand so they can be set free and the veil can be removed from their eyes and they can join us in this ministry. And Lord, we desperately want those who are still bound because they've listened to hucksters, Lord, like me, who have tried to gain a name for ourselves, and their eyes are, even though the veil has been removed, they're trying to hold on to some mixture of legalism and truth. And we want to be used by you, Lord, to help them to see your glory. That's the heart's desire, God, for me and for this body. So, Lord, we need you. We need you to do this work, because the gospel is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers, and they can't see the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ. So we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Lord, you've shown in our hearts and given us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now help us to be light to those places that you place us this week. We trust in you for that. And we thank you in advance, God, that you're going to continue to touch lives and change hearts as we yield ourselves to you and keep our motives pure. Lord, help us with that. Transform us from one degree of glory to the next. We love you, God. We love you. We love all that we've discovered about you. And we can't wait to see more. In Jesus' name we pray.